Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV. We're at the tail end of the festive period. Everyone's come here with a big smile on their faces, largely because they've managed to escape the families for a few hours to come in and talk the Reds. It is Leicester versus Liverpool this time. It is in the Premier League, and off the back of them getting absolutely spanked by Man City, and on the back of us having our Boxing Day made just that little bit worse by not having any footy of meaning to watch on the television. We're going to chat through what Liverpool are going to do in terms of the lineup and whatever in a bit. We've got an incredible prize draw to come for you guys a little bit later on as well. The final one of our club legend draws. We've got a signed Kenny Dalglish shirt and a signed Jordan Henderson print to give away. It's Ann Pompey and Dan Club and Steve Hall join me for this one. And Steve, are Leicester rubbish?
I don't know if Leicester are the good crap team or the crap good team.
Yes.
One of those two. I'm not the, like, they're either the best of the crap or they're the worst of the good teams. They're on that border.
Yeah.
I actually think they're the best of the crap teams.
That's a really good description. Because I think we can all place West Ham as like the best of the crap.
Or the good of... No, actually, I think they're the worst of the good teams. I think West Ham are better than Leicester.
Wow. Okay.
I think West Ham are better than Leicester. So they're in that bracket for me. It's whether they're... Where Leicester are. Like, I watched them the other day and... Well, I say obviously against those and then like obviously in the City game, they are very inconsistent, putting it mild. Like, they've got so much attacking quality at times, both whether injuries or whatever, defensively, they are just a shambles. I actually think it's more the injuries. I think when they've got their full, you know, selection of defenders all fit and available, they're not bad. But they, at the minute, they are just like, they're leaking goals. They are very reminiscent of Brendan Rodgers' Liverpool.
Yeah. But it's hard to judge them as a result of that, isn't it, Dan? Because... I think Brendan has kind of hit a bit of a wall, generally speaking, with them. But then when you need to dig deep and get yourself out of that, having a ton of defensive injuries and all that's certainly not going to help that any.
No, it doesn't. And inconsistent's probably the right way of putting it. Obviously, they were massively inconsistent, you know, between two halves against us the other night. We've seen that firsthand, but that just showed you where they're at, really. Injuries are a massive part of it, I think. They've been good in recent seasons. There's no getting around that. Yep. But right now, they are depleted, and it just showed because, you know, it was second string what we had against them the other night, and even when we upped that a little bit, we were far too good for them.
Yep.
So hopefully that'll be the case again in the league, but... Rodgers, I agree with you. I think Rodgers has taken Leicester as far as he could. And when he was linked with jobs recently, I thought it's probably time for him to move on. And if you look what's happened this season with them, it was definitely time for him to move on.
Well, I agree. And I think there's a little... And I wonder whether that's a little thing that's playing into it without knowing too much about behind the scenes of Leicester and how that's going. But it does feel a little like... That was his moment to get out with his reputation intact, and he'll probably turn things around and have a decent end of the season. But that competitiveness, I think, between third and seventh is going to be brutal this season. And I'm not sure psychologically whether he's got the ability to drag them out of that, because I just don't know how you miss out on fourth twice in two seasons. I know they won the FA Cup, so they got that lift, but how you convince them to go deep again, and whether he's got that, like, I don't know, that power as a manager to be able to drag them on.
Well, you'd have to say he hasn't, because like you touched upon there, you know, they were in for a ridiculous amount of days over the past couple of seasons and they haven't managed to get that job done. So you can't imagine he'd, you know, suddenly emerge from the battle that looks like it's going to take place now for that foot with Arsenal, Spurs, United, West Ham, we touched upon, even though they've fell off a cliff a little bit. Mm-hmm. I can't see Brendan Rodgers getting it over the line with Leicester this season one little bit. Their form does not suggest they're going to do that.
I suppose the flip side is like, what's good for Leicester? Like, fourth is overachieving, I think, for Leicester. I think if you say to Brendan Rodgers, you have to come fourth to be a success at Leicester, I think that's harsh. Like, I think
you're an unqualified success if you get fourth, but you're right. Yeah. In terms of like what your minimum expectations are.
Fifth and winning an FA Cup in the last couple of seasons, that's more than enough. Obviously, I think maybe we're all skewed by the Ranieri title.
Well,
that,
that's the thing. Not only did it ruin football, and it ruined football for fans of every team that hasn't won a major trophy or won the league or whatever, because it was like, oh, look, it's possible, and when really it's not. It's just
once in a moon.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the problem, is when things aren't going right, you do have that back of like, well, Ranieri was able to win the league with dot, dot, dot. That becomes a bit of a millstone round his neck at the same time.
Yeah, I agree. But like I say, as it stands, they're 10th in the league. But again, like everyone, the games in hand, the league table at the moment, it's impossible to know what it is just because the games in hand are just everywhere. Like they've got two on a couple of teams above them. And even, you know, Man United have only played 16 games, obviously, at time recording and stuff. So it is all a bit of a mess. But like, if Leicester finish somewhere between 5th and 8th, like, that's what I'd expect Leicester to finish. The issue they've got at the moment is they are depleted. And I think we can't sit here and moan how bad our defence was last season when we had no centre-backs and then moan at Leicester for saying the same because they've got no centre-halves.
Oh, I'm not moaning at Leicester. No, I'm quite enjoying it, to be honest.
You know, like, take the piss off. Yeah. The flip side is, he bought Vestergaard and he's crap.
Yeah.
And like, they got beat 9-0 by Leicester. And then he went and bought the centre half of them, and Ryan Bertrand off them as well, by the way.
Yeah.
So imagine going to a team and beating them 9-0 and going, I want off yous.
Yeah. Most of your defenders. Yeah,
half of your defenders. Yeah.
But it's very Brendan Rodgers' logic, I think, that he goes, we're a bit weak from set pieces.
By a big lad.
I'm going to get a huge, big lad. Yeah, and it was a bit like, it was a bit like buying Benteke, wasn't it, on the other end for us? It's a bit like, well, we need a bit more of a plan B up front, so I'll go and get the big lad. I mean, just looking at their team that they put out against City, because there was a notion that I think that they kind of threw that game. They got Iheanacho up front, Maddison in behind, they had Luchman, Dewsbury Hall, obviously played against us, Tielemans, Perez across the midfield. It was Thomas, Vestergaard and Marty Albrighton. Now that's very, very makeshift. But to Steve's point, it's injuries. You know, Vardy was on the bench, but he took a knock against us. Chowdhury comes on. They got Ndidi on the bench, but again, he started centre-half in midweek against us and Castagne. But largely, that was the kind of point I'm driving at here is, yeah, they are massively depleted in defence. I don't see that how much stronger they can really go.
Indeed, he'll play only.
I think so.
That's the difference.
Yeah. But if they're only playing him at centre-half. We saw this with Fabinho last year. Good.
He is good, yeah.
He's better than having Amartey at centre-half, but he's not a centre-half.
Like, they've lost, so they're without Evans, they're without Cianciu, they're without Fofana, who got that horrendous one in pre-season, which was a killer for them. So, like, they are down to their fourth choice, and then they're playing a DM, and then they didn't even have him available, so it's the next DM. You can see why they're in goals. And I thought, indeed, he was good against those centre-half, actually, and I thought it was Samari, wasn't he, who they played in midfield?
Yeah.
And he was all right as well. So that I imagine those two come back into it. I don't think they launched the game against Man City. Like, I think he's chosen which of the three games in a week and the one I'm least likely to win, City. So if I'm going to give Ndidi his rest, I might just do it anyway. Because I could run him into the ground at centre-half against City and we could still lose. But he fancies his chances of getting through Liverpool in the cup away from home against the depleted Liverpool. And he was, 20 seconds from getting it? And then a home game on the Tuesday, you're more likely to win. So I think he has prioritised a little bit.
And also, in Brendan Rodgers' defence, I think he's planned this around Liverpool playing Leeds on Boxing Day, where you're both getting there and he's thinking, I'll just be slightly fresher than Liverpool. And as it turns out, we've not had the game. We've managed to get probably all of our lads back from the COVID isolation potentially as well in that time. So how do you feel about... I just want to talk about Brendan Rodgers actually before we move on. Dan, What do you think about him?
That's a good question. I think he's a very good manager. I do think he's just a bracket below sort of the elite when you look at Klopp, Pep, Tuchel, knock him out at the minute. I don't think he's near that. And I think that's kind of where he always will be, to be honest with you. When he was linked with the United job, I was okay with it. Although he's got Liverpool connections, and obviously, you know, he took us close to that Premier League. He doesn't scare me as a manager necessarily, you know. He plays good football, he likes to get the ball down. That's what I liked about him when he was with us. But generally speaking, do I ever think he's going to sort of go that next level? No, I don't think so.
I think he's a great coach. He's a really, really good coach, actually. But I think your anecdote and your stories was, I don't think he's an amazing people person. I've never felt that. Even when you've met him, like, there's something about him. I don't know if you ever felt this when you come across him a couple of times. He seemed like a bit of a strange fella. That's the vibe I got from him at times. Mm. And by all accounts, like, he contradicts himself a lot, and I think that doesn't do him no favours.
In answer to your question, no, I always liked Brendan. I always thought he was a nice guy. But I also think he's a bit of a... He's the anti-Hodgson. Like, Roy Hodgson is Roy Hodgson and never give a fuck. Mm. And he's like, I'm me, this is how I do me things. And whereas I think Rodgers is a bit of a... He understood Liverpool, but he wasn't Liverpool. No. You know, so I think that's one of the things where he knows how to play to the crowd, but I think he's a little too transparent in that.
I was going to say that. He feels like he's full of shit, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You felt like he was telling you, or he was saying what he thinks you want to hear rather than what you need to hear. He does that with less than now. Like, he goes, I never ever complain about referees, and then his next sentence was, but I'm going to complain about the referees. Now, and he'd done that the other day, and it was a bit like, yeah, I think he's a good manager, and I think, like, but I agree, I don't ever see him as being like a truly elite manager. But like I say, it depends what your expectations are for Leicester, because again, I think the title season has just clouded everything. Mm-hmm. But like, if you can take a mid-table team, finishing Europe twice, winning an FA Cup with them, that's probably what David Moyes could do this year. And he's being wanked off by everyone, David Moyes is.
Yeah.
Like, he could come fifth and win an FA Cup this year and people will be lauding him. Mm. But like, that's what Brendan Rodgers did last year. You know what I mean? So like, he's good. Yeah. He isn't bad.
But I think it's all about expectations, I think. And I think Brendan Rodgers has done the right thing, and he's got a good... There's good PR around Rodgers.
Yeah,
whereas I think people hold him up to a higher esteem. And look, the fact that he's done... He did a better job at Liverpool, or at least a more memorably good job at Liverpool than Moyes did at United. So they've had their big go. The way that Moyes plays football is but I suppose, look, people are coming around to David Moyes regardless. But I agree on the Rodgers thing. I think he's got a small window in the next year or two to go and get himself another sort of transformative job, one that takes him up. He needs to go and get a Champions League team.
Yeah.
And needs to go and play in that level.
Yeah. Obviously, he speaks fluent Spanish, doesn't he? So you wouldn't be surprised if he went to a Spanish team and does well. Like, I think that might suit him more a bit better as well. But like, I can't see now, where's he going to go from Leicester? Where can he go up? Like, he's never coming to Liverpool, obviously, again.
No.
United was an option, wasn't it, for a while, but I don't see that happening now.
Arsenal would have been, but it sees how well Arteta has
been linked there for a while, hasn't he? Yeah. And there's the Newcastle situation, isn't there, further down the line?
If it goes catastrophically wrong, I've got this feeling like this, Brendan Rodgers, if he makes the wrong call for him is Newcastle, because he's got all the hallmarks of that, where he'll go, and his problem is hubris. And he wants too much control, and we saw that at Liverpool. Mm. And he's got that at Leicester, and I don't think that's necessarily a good idea, because we were chatting before, Steve, about him. Like, he's not as good as he thinks he is.
Definitely, yeah.
But if at some point he'll have to learn to get a couple of better people around him and delegate and get world class people to take over the things that he's not good at. But I get a feeling Newcastle, he'd go in there and they'd be like laying out all the riches, and he'd be there with like a scepter and a crown and
picture of himself on the wall.
Envelopes
everywhere, they'd be.
And be like, oh no, I'm very humble man, but they've just given me this throne. but you didn't turn it down either, Brendan. To be honest, one thing's interesting about him, because we talked about in the build up to the League Cup game that his record at Anfield as an opposing manager wasn't good. He'd only had his best result had been a draw for Swansea, but his record is a bit better at his home, as it were. They beat us. He beat us as Swansea manager at the Liberty Stadium back in 2012. We obviously smashed them 4-0 the other year, and they beat us 3-1 last season as well. That it's that 3-1 that I think we'd be most keen to avenge here, Dan, because it summed up where Liverpool were at. We were better than them. And then we had Alisson has that mad moment where he comes out, and we get a little bit unlucky with a VAR decision and what have you. And I don't know, on any other day with maybe one more fit player, I think we just beat them.
Yeah, you're probably right. It was a chastening day, wasn't it? I remember it vividly, and it wasn't nice to watch. Certainly the last 20 minutes when it all unravelled in front of our eyes. Having been in the game, like you say, for long periods, but that was very vindicative of where we were at the time, wasn't it? That felt like it could happen at any moment in any game, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But you're right, that is definitely a game we'll be looking at. And as much that Rodgers will be looking at this game, wanting to get revenge for the other night, because that didn't sit well with him the other night, what happened. You could tell in the post-match, like you said, he's quite bitter about the referees and stuff, so he'll want to get revenge for that. But we should, you know, a different looking side. You know, Kabak played in that game. I think it was his first game, Kabak.
Fucking hell, I've got visions of him chasing back on that ball over the
top. That's right,
yeah.
Basically me running back, like, honestly. Yeah. But yeah, that was his first game, and obviously that didn't go particularly well for him, and he collides into Alisson and Vardy or Barnes, open goal, wasn't it? Yeah, but listen, we're back to what we were, you know, when we went there the previous time and absolutely wiped the floor with him, and Trent Alexander-Arnold was just ridiculous. So that's a better memory. But you are right, we'll want to put things right this week.
Those two results almost,
those
two seasons. Yeah. How good was that season compared to how much of a shit? Like, you got your best team who they turn up as Club World Cup champions on Boxing Day against the team who was second in the league, where they were just absolutely wiped the floor with them.
Yeah.
The team last year went in like fucking Sasquatch at centre half running backwards in slow motion. Got the fucking we were all over the place. We got done by a VAR with the lads like toenail.
Yeah.
And there was talk like did the guy put the line from Roberto Firmino's toe or his shadow? Do you remember all that kickoff as well?
Yeah.
It was just all that nonsense. It was just a summary of two seasons. So what you mentioned, I think what you referenced before, like the fact that they're having to play this game is a joke. That obviously, as I said, this even if we'd have played on Box Day as well, because two games in 3 days is nonsense and no team should have to do it. Leicester, they got the, whether you call it luck, I don't know, but obviously they were fresh going into the cup game.
Yeah.
And that was an enforced break. That wasn't a mid-season break of sorts, was it? Liverpool may have got the benefit of someone else's problems with COVID this time, but like, to go and play Man City and Liverpool over the space of 3 days, like, that's as tough as any. That's just ridiculous, really, if you think about it.
Yeah.
But not that problem. Go and be ruthless and just run the legs off them. That's what you've got to do. And hopefully, like I say, with all our guys back full fit and training, pretty much all of them now, there's no reason not to.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, we're going to take a very short break. When we return, we'll talk about how Liverpool go about that process. We have got a short break. We have got a trivia question. In the Premier League era, there have been four goalkeepers to play for both. I want you guys to name them. Hey everyone, Mate here. Just a little insert from me to say that if you enjoyed this podcast and the other podcast that we put out for free and you want more, then my word, you can have more on the redmentv.com. Go over there, sign up and get extra bonus shows from us each and every week, as well as a whole suite of video content, documentaries, features and interviews. But yes, you can also play those podcasts in your native podcasting app as well to have a seamless Redmen TV experience in your ears. The redmentv.com, sign up there today. But yes, we've been running competitions all through the festive period. Steve, by the way, when I'm finished doing this, remind me to give the trivia answer, because I'm notorious for not remembering to do the trivia answer.
Okay.
I'm on a roll. Feels like I'm not on a roll anymore. Because
why don't you just give the trivia answer now? Because it feels like you've jumped the gun now.
Okay, sound that well. The trivia question was, name the four goalkeepers to play for both in the Premier League era.
I got two.
You go on.
I got Peggy Arfexed and Danny Ward.
I mean, I was amazed. But I'm pretty sure Dan got Peggy Arfexed.
I think he had it in his head, to be fair, but I was the one that
actually. They were the two I had. I have got no idea.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking in my head. Yeah.
Definitely one of them.
Think of a number, 1-7.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, cool, that's what I thought. Yeah.
But I haven't got the other two. And my guess is they are like Liverpool bench goalies who have just had the odd game for Leicester, but I've got no idea who they are.
Okay, correct. Tony Warner.
There you go.
Yeah, and the other one, not so much actually, although sort of, Chris Kirkland.
Not so much what?
Well, he played.
Okay. He was literally signed on the same day as another goalie.
He was
injured a lot. But I mean, when you say bench goalie, Tony Warner is a full-on, like, and Pecky Arfexad is a full-on. He's a lad who you just buy because you need to fulfil a
more medals than appearances, Peggy.
Peggy, definitely. And just in terms of an extension to that, Mike Hooper also did, but obviously didn't play for Liverpool in the Premier League either. Right, let's talk back again about the football. That was a lot of words and not really a great sentence, but never mind, I'm going to roll with it. Dan, we kind of touched upon it before, the Boxing Day cancellation. It was a ball, like, I was really looking forward to watching the Reds. I love that thing of having all my family round, watching the game. But it has done us a favour. I mean, obviously the isolation rules changing as well will have helped. Mm-hmm. We saw the photo of them all with the Santa hats on in training, so we know Virgil's likely to be back. There's a chance Thiago might even be back.
Came out yesterday,
this.
I think, wasn't it?
Did you not see Thiago's picture with Mo Salah? Thiago had a flat cap on.
What a hat that is by Thiago.
He got rid of that his mad little facial hair thing that he had going on. But it means he'll be back. Fabinho will be back. Curtis Jones will be able to resume training again. Yeah, it's a shame because we won't know the knock-on impact of where that game gets moved to, but in terms of having to face Leicester again, we should be as close to full strength as we're likely to be, really.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, it's Andy Robertson is the main key omission, really, but generally speaking, yeah, we are pretty much full strength for this. So I was like you, I was gutted to see it called off because Boxing Day is my favourite day of the year, full stop, and when Liverpool are playing, obviously, it's 10 times better, so... Massive disappointment to see it get called off. Leeds games are always decent as well. Obviously,
and we'd have fucking battered them.
Obviously, we hammered them, yeah, because they're in a bad place at the moment, I was going to say. They're really struggling. And we wiped the floor with them at Elland Road, they were full strength, so God knows what we would have done to them yesterday. So, but you are right, obviously, it's helped us massively, because obviously Salah and Mane got a big rest midweek.
Yeah.
Van Dijk's nowhere near it, and then they all come back for this. Leicester must be thinking, oh no, what's happened here?
Yeah, and considering as well, as we've mentioned there, if Brendan even has... preface this game over the City one, then he's done is hype this game up a little bit more for his players, which, look, you mentioned they'll want to get a bit of revenge because they got their pants pulled down big time at Anfield. There, it was the best kind of embarrassing, where, you know, we didn't go and wipe the floor with them, except we did, really, when you think about who we had on the pitch to do it. But in saying this is the game we're trying to win more, if it doesn't go their way, it does start to heap the pressure on as the game goes.
Like I say, it's luck of the draw. Sometimes you get, like, we got Tottenham off the back of them having a bit of a COVID break and stuff, and it's one of those, is what it is. The difference is this break comes on the back, it wasn't us who had it, whereas Tottenham were the ones who had the COVID break and we played them. It's been the opposite for us. We were all fine, everyone was back out of isolation, it gave us just rest. They would have been absolutely delighted with, like I say, we'll see when the Leeds game goes, and it might come back and bite us, because I actually think we'd have battered them anyway. And we might have even done it with a half a team, given where they were with the injuries before the COVID issues. But it's worked out that, listen, we're playing a team who's just 2 days before gone to the Etihad and had the run around. And the mad thing about it was, even at 3-4-0, I was thinking, right, Roger might just shut this down and just save some legs. But then the fact that they got back into it and got those three goals, it probably bear more energy. And again, in the losing
cause, Brendan Rodgers manages games like I used to play like Pro Evo or FIFA online, where if I'm getting battered by someone, what I'll do is I'll try and rainbow flick it over someone's head just to prove I'm good at the game. You know, just to have some sort of slim satisfaction in it. But really what you should just do is disconnecting and getting on with the next one.
Saving your legs.
I mean, look, in terms of the players that we've got, something we need to be aware of, as mentioned by you there, Dan, Andy Robertson is now going to miss the extra. He's going to miss Chelsea as a result. It means we need to be careful with Tsimikas. And actually, Leicester, a good example of this thing where we saw them, the injuries sort of started to pile up to them just playing us. Not only have we got Chelsea on the horizon, which is the big, you know, that's our opportunity, I think, to shut the door on them, which we'll have one eye on, certainly. These are the last two games for Salah, Mane and Keita, which is its own thing. There's just a lot of things that Liverpool just need to be wary of here. We want to make sure we're full strength for Chelsea. We want to make sure we're good enough to get the 3 points on the day. And we also want to make sure the squad is managed sufficiently, because it's all well and good saying we've definitely got the depth to cope without those lads. But if you start to pick up a couple of injuries in the next couple of games, you're making life exponentially harder for yourself in January.
Yeah, definitely. I think wary is the right way of putting it, to be honest with you. I think we've got, given the Leeds game being called off, we've almost got a free pass to go full strength for the majority of this. If we get well ahead in one of the games, probably Leicester more likely, there's definitely a case for bringing Tsimikas off and maybe going James Milner at left back, or whether it be Owen Beck at left back, whoever it may be, if the game's done. But as for the other three, Keita, Salah and Mane, we've got a free pass to use them for 180 minutes this week, in my opinion. Because who's bothered to either get on for Guinea, Senegal? You know, with respect to those countries, more generally. But from a Liverpool point of view, there's absolutely nothing stopping us. That's why I think Keita starts.
Yeah. It's a big gap as well, by the way. Like, that's just too much. Is it just Tuesday to Sunday?
Which is normal, isn't it? That's a good gap.
It's a bigger than usual gap. Like, you take that every single time. You go on the early game on the Tuesday. So, yeah, I think it's fine. Like, you could easily go back to back on that. And then obviously it's the cup game, isn't it? You've got Arsenal, and then you've got Shrewsbury. So you could, I mean, mean, Shrewsbury's the one where you just doss everyone off for a start. So he could
sorry, what
doss?
Not to.
Big emphasis.
I mean, if you want to.
I don't think you'll throw it that much.
Line up, lads.
Happy Christmas. So I think, like I say, I think he's actually going to go strong against Arsenal as well. So I think he could go strong, bang, 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 three games. Mm. Yeah. But yeah, listen, there's no point resting anyone for the game against Leicester. You look at your team, you pick the best available. I think we all know what our best team is, or there or thereabout.
Yeah.
Shimakash comes in at left back. Other than that, we've actually got some positive decisions to make.
Uh-huh.
So he's got to decide who starts up front, because he's got both of them available. Mm-hmm. He's got to decide who starts in centre mid, because we think they're all available. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he had Thiago on the bench, given he hasn't trained a lot.
And it's a good opportunity for that, really, isn't it? Because, I mean, and you've got a nice conversation to have, because I don't think anyone would begrudge Oxlade-Chamberlain starting again in this game, but for any reason, because I think he's been brilliant, hasn't he, to be fair. But Naby Keita, let's just talk about him for a bit, actually, Dan, because he was exceptional when he came on against Leicester. Like, he was, we talked about it on our Final Word show, that was Leipzig Naby, the one who just looks completely unplayable. If you can find a way to get that Naby on the pitch again, then that could be very, very exciting.
Yeah, it could be. And he was, you know, he's out of this world. I thought he changed the game. The game had already started to turn. You forget he only played half an hour in that game. People seem to think he came on at half time for some reason, because he was that influential when he came on. And if we can get that case of playing regularly, I think, you know, we've got ourselves a serious player there. Unfortunately, how many times have I had this conversation? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's always been the problem. But he does show glimpses, and that was definitely a half an hour glimpse of how good he can be.
I'm 100% picking him. If I'm picking the team. Really? Yeah, 100%.
Henderson, Fabinho, Keita.
Yeah, because I always think, with Naby Keita, you know you're going to lose him at some point, so strike while the iron's hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to say this with Daniel Sturridge as well. Just play, you've got to look after him in times, but you know at some point he's not going to be there. Use him now.
My only slight issue with the Keita stuff is I still think he's better on the right side of a three. I think he's been quite good, and I think we've been teaching him to be more reserved on that left. He's clearly being groomed as like a... Thiago's being groomed to be best Thiago, and everyone else is being taught to kind of do it the way that he does it. I like more free roll Naby. I mean, the obvious issue with that was Spurs. I think he was a little too free, and he played a bit more, a bit too tennish, and I think it undermined a little bit what we did down the right-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
But when you looked at him picking the ball up on the halfway line against Leicester, on that right touchline, and then just driving
inside.
He took
the piss in midweek, to be fair to him.
And it's whether he can do that from the other side of the pitch, because I wouldn't be looking to move Jordan Henderson, because I think we had that little glimpse of that early on in the season, and he
Hendo's got to be on the right. Got to play right, because the Trent Henderson Salah link up is your main asset this season, so you keep that. And listen, I'm happy with Keita on the left, because he links up well with Mane, he links up well with Jota, he does a slide balls through as well. Him and Shimakas looked all right, didn't he, for parts of the day, so that we might. But the flip side is, I wouldn't be adverse to it being Oxlade-Chamberlain. I wouldn't be adverse to it being Thiago. I wouldn't even be that bothered if it's Milner. Like, all of them have proven themselves as over the next, which is what we want to be, because having gone through what we went through in terms of injuries in midfield and COVID and stuff like that, the fact that we got through it and won pretty much all the games there or thereabout, when you come out the other side of it and you've got more options and they're all rested, Liverpool are better for having had to play Oxlade-Chamberlain into form. Because now everyone's back and you've still got him in form.
Yeah.
So I think that's the benefit of when you get these odd injuries or breaks. Like, if someone steps up, and I think, to say, like, I think we'd all written Chamberlain off and we'd all written Keita off. And again, they are very much Michael Myers. Just when you think they've gone into the dead, like, they're back again and they're not going anywhere, I feel, with those two.
There's a nice potential where you want to work yourself to a situation with that Chelsea game where you've got Naby Keita and Oxlade-Chamberlain, who are both fit and sharp and ready on the bench. And if you need to change things and you need to go in that heavy in that game, then you've got two lads who are just, it's like having a rolling start. You can chuck them into the game, as opposed to where we've had previously, Danny, over the years, where you're going, oh God, we need to change it. Let's look to the bench. Oh, well, he's there, but he's not quite up to speed. We're in danger.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Having touch wood, and still a long way away because we've got to get through Leicester. A squad that's all come up at the same time.
Yeah, it's a really nice problem to have, isn't it? I think the thing to say is, like, when you look at Oxlade-Chamberlain and Abukayte, if they don't start one of these games, you could probably say they're all done by.
Yeah.
Especially Oxlade-Chamberlain, because he's probably not going to start.
Yeah.
And he has been superb recently, really dynamic. You know, even look at the AC Milan game away, I thought he was brilliant in that. Yeah. So you're almost desperate for those cup games, Arsenal and Shrewsbury, to come around to see them again. Because you think he deserves to start games of football the way he's playing, but he's not going to.
I've loved Oxlade-Chamberlain's turnaround because he's one of my favourite people. He's one of my favourite players in terms of everything. He deserves success because I just think he's a brilliant fella and he's a really good footballer. And he falls down because I think there's a lot of lads who have carried over this is, you know, the tail end of his Arsenal career, and they don't want him to be successful. I don't know if that's, you know, you take my point on that, but he's our 12th player again, which is what he was in the title winning season. We actually need more Oxlade-Chamberlains at this point, and there's a good opportunity for Naby to be like that, but as we were saying there, stay really, this is an ideal scenario. I think we've still got to get, I don't think Tacky's quite there yet, although his goal and his assist in the week will definitely have helped him for that. Divock will be Divock and come in and do this. But these lads are going to be very important in the next 5 or 6 weeks. We're in danger of being in that ideal world scenario, I suppose, really.
And Jürgen's got to take that into account. Like, he talks so much about rhythm and stuff. If you leave Keiter and Chamber on the bench and then you just throw them into a game where they start, that's harsh. And I always think that's, sometimes we don't take that into effect or into consideration when we judge these lads when they haven't played for a month, and you just throw them in and you're surprised that they were a bit rubbish. He needs to keep them ticking over. So I actually think, and that's where there's obviously, he'll make his changes, he'll make them in the middle of the park. He always, more often than not, changes a centre mid on one of his front three, and then his other sub can vary. So he'll keep Jota ticking over, he'll keep Firmino ticking over, he'll keep all the midfielders we've got. We'll see all of them. But the gap means that he can play what he thinks is his strongest team, Leicester and Chelsea.
Yeah.
And we'll see bits of it. It's a big decision for me, Paul, and Phil Batty. It was like, who starts up front? Like, against Leicester, for me, looking at the issues they've got at centre-half, for me, it's Jota, because he's more likely to just take advantage of those, like, half a yard in the box, predator. Mm-hmm. Like, all his goals have been in the box. I saw Liverpool put that clip out, didn't he, the other day, of his 10 league goals so far this season, whatever it was, and every single one was in the penalty area, tap-ins, headers, all that kind of stuff. I think that's more this type of game that you're wanting for. I don't think you should need Bobby Firmino's industry and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I thought he actually was all right against Leicester.
He got better as the game went
on. Yeah, he grew into it, but I don't think... I could definitely see Firmino at Chelsea.
Well, to the point we made earlier, Salah and Mane start because they haven't played for ages now, and you've got two more games, so why the hell not? You might as well use them, and if the worst case happens, it's not your worst case to deal with. But you're probably just rotating Firmino and Jota for the next week, because to that point you do need to make sure that they're fine,
because they're both playing soon.
There'll be a degree to which Jota as well, you know, you might look at it and go, actually he might benefit from another 60 minutes off here or 45 minutes off or whatever, and Firmino actually might need with that one eye on Chelsea and then going into January, the decision might not be who's the perfect guy for this game, it's how do we best manage the next two, three and four games for them.
I suppose the flip side is, like, he's the second top scorer in the league and we're thinking about not playing him.
For
me, like, I think you just play him because he's scoring loads of goals. Like, I know that might be really, really basic, but
you earn the right to do whatever the fuck you want if you go and win that game in the first half.
Of course.
I think you've got to play him and keep him going, and like I say, Bobby will tick over as he when he comes to, but like, Jota is he's literally second. Like, who else is benching the top songs?
You can't ignore him now, Jota, for me. That's the thing. This debate has been obviously raging now for quite a few months since Jota's been outstanding for us. But for me, I've been team Firmino, if there is such a thing, yeah. Especially in the big games when it comes to Chelsea and whatever, because of his industry. But both games, I'm looking at it now saying, I don't think I can ignore Diogo Jota.
Do you remember when we played City? Was it last season when we played City?
On all four.
And Jota had done that well that he had to pick him.
Yes.
But he kind of edged his bets and picked all four of them.
Yeah, he went all four, yeah.
Like, I don't think he can do that again. I mean, he might. He certainly did. That's what he was thinking about to do today. But, yeah. I mean, that's one option. You could just go to Leicester and say, listen, here's all four of them, deal with that.
I'm not impressed when we do that.
I don't see the point of it because I think...
Well, our midfield's too good.
Yeah.
The way our midfield's structured is too good and too important. I think we found a nice balance with keeping the three in, but adding more attacking birth this season. When you go, I think it's tipping the needle too far when you put all four on there. And I know there's a nice idealised scenario where you just go and absolutely annihilate someone when they're all on the pitch, and maybe we might need to do that at some point. That's a break glass option, which we could do with using, so it's a bit more fluent as and when we do. But
not against a team who let so many goals in as Leicester let in. Like, you don't need it. It's like you were desperate to get, like, against City. Maybe he was thinking, I need me big gun that time. I need all of them on the pitch to try and get a goal. I don't think you need it now. And plus, the flip side is, I suppose, if you were looking at Firmino, is that, like, Leicester at set pieces is a joke. They're so bad at them.
Yeah.
Like, who's more likely to score your header off a corner? You're probably thinking that's Bobby. So there's both options there, but I just don't think at the moment, I don't think I could look at, if I was Jürgen, could look at Diogo Jota in the eye and say, I'm not picking you, me other lads back.
Yeah. Well, but I suppose you're right. But it's that thing of, it's all about squad management at this point, isn't it? And I agree. I think you're just flipping it from, you know, Jota from last, from, we do that often. Like, it's a 60, one gets 60, one gets 30, then the next game one gets the other one gets a 60.
But at what point is that not a thing? What does Jota have to do to make, for example, that's not the case for Mane, and that's not the case for Salah.
Well, it's more the case for Mane than it is for Salah, definitely, because Mane does get a bit of rotation nowadays. But I agree, because the Jota point, it reminds me very much of, it'll happen a bit like Klein and Trent, but it was more prevalent with Trent and Gomez, where there was a time when Gomez was seen as the safe pair of hands. So, you know, you play him in the Nou Camp and your big games where you're up against better or tough opposition, there were games that weren't suited to Trent, but Trent became so good that all of a sudden there was no game that wasn't suited for him.
Yeah.
And I think Jota's becoming that where you're right, where you're like, Why wouldn't you play a predatory goal scorer? It's like United not playing Ronaldo, or Spurs not playing Kane, or Leicester not playing Vardy. There's a guy who's just going to get a sniff and score you the goal, and he's not even like them in that regard, because he actually does a lot of the dirty work.
He's getting better at that as well. I think he's really good. Obviously, you look at Firmino, we all love him, and you know, he's brilliant at what he does, but I do think Jota's bringing more and more of that into his game, which is only a good thing.
He's a narc, isn't he? And I think he need that. He's got
a celebration over the
shoulder. Suarez about it.
Yeah, absolutely. A bit of Bellamy in there as well, where he kind of loves the needle of it, which I think
just giving 5,000 of their fans.
Brilliant, wasn't it?
Well, he's got a whole ground of them. He'll be cupping his ears and doing Hulk Hogan celebrations, won't he? Like,
I'm all in. Yeah, he's starting for me now. He's my first name on the team sheet.
The good thing we got going for us, though, in terms of those attacking options, they're all in goal scoring form. There's not a wrong answer for this game, because you could turn around, and we don't know where Divock's at. I'd be surprised if he was if he was in contention to start, having missed a couple of weeks since AC Milan. But even if we turned up here with Divock Origi leading the line, we'd all go, okay. So, I mean, as long as there wasn't an injury to any of the other lads, I think we'd be reasonably content with it. And that's the beauty where we're at. You know, I've got it up here, Liverpool, in all comps so far this season. It's a stat I love at the moment. Our top six goal scorers are our six forward options in all comps, which is, like, unheard of. It's almost obscene how good those lads are in terms of what they're getting in front of goal. And then beneath that, Henderson, Keita, Trent starting to add goals. I could see more coming from Thiago in the coming weeks as well. So no shortage of options for this one, really. But we are settling on Jota, right?
If it's me,
I am.
Are we settling on Keita then for the third midfield?
Yes.
And then do we think, Konate or Matip?
Matip. I thought Konate was amazing the other day. I think he was one of the main reasons why that all turned around.
Yeah.
He was brilliant, because I don't think Gomez played well at all.
No.
Cometio, it's too early. He just wasn't ready. I think we saw that. I thought Konate, the way he dealt with the threat of the running behind, was just so much better than what we were doing.
It was a bit like if we'd got like a Back to the Future 2 moment where we'd got on a future Canate and he was just stepping in for himself for 45 minutes or whatever while the other one was had been sandbagged out the back or something. And he's we got to see what I think Canate will be in a couple of years' time. So composed, just like he looks like a senior footballer.
The argument for him, mate, is that the pace
like
if you worried if you think Vardy's going to play and you, or you think they're going to have their speed guys, I don't know where Dacher's situation is. I know he didn't play, he wasn't featured,
dragged in as well,
but like if his aim is to stop the pace, then you could easily go Canate. And again, how's Virgil? Hopefully he's fine, like by all accounts he didn't really suffer with the COVID stuff, but we don't know exactly how he is. But I don't think
you need to take loads of chances with this game. I think when you've got, I know there's a nice gap there to Chelsea and we've had a little bit of a break since the last game. But, and I'm very wary of famous last words here, so I'll be careful how I phrase this next thing. But I don't, if there's any doubts across anyone, this is not the game to risk it. If it means that you've got a slightly, if the risk is reduced for Chelsea, that's where the priority lies, because that's where Leicester are at. You know, they're mid-table. They're better than where they're positioned in the league, but also they're not Chelsea.
I suppose, like I say, we don't know how these guys have acted. That's the one thing, like, you don't know how the COVID's impacted. It impacts everyone differently. What I would say in Canate is he looks better on the left than he does on the right. Yeah. We've always thought this season, like, it was Virgil and Gomez were our left centre-backs and the other two, Matip and Canate with the right. It could just be that Canate becomes the step in for Virgil.
Yeah.
In his last couple of games, when he's played left, he's looked so much more comfortable for whatever reason. But like I say, again, you're splitting it. I wouldn't play Gomez.
He's younger. I agree. But I also think, I think back to Porto, is it? He plays the left side of centre-half with Matip, maybe. And he's a bit all over the place.
Yeah.
But he's younger. Yeah, and this is the thing. I'm happy for Canate to come out now for the game.
Yeah.
And maybe you go, well, Chelsea is certainly going to play Lukaku now. You know, obviously, as long as he's fit in the next few days or whatever. But then Canate up against Lukaku, I go, kind of like with the Ronaldo thing at Old Trafford, go, here's the guy who's going to be causing us, trying to physically bully us. Go on, we'll put our physical bully at the back and see how they can.
Can you beat him with your nose and your experience? Yeah. I reference every time I see him, and I don't want to overplay it, but like, he's fucking massive. He's absolutely ridiculous. And for the speed he was getting, like, he was keeping up or overtaking Jamie Vardy, but carrying like an extra 5 stone or something, not even pure muscle. It was absurd. So I can see the benefits of both. For me, it's Matip, because I think Matip's better. I actually think Matip's been our best defender all season, so I think he deserves to play. But yeah, again, it's a nice problem to have. The only worry I've got at centre half, I thought Gomez needs games and he's just not going to get them now. I suppose where he might get another chance now, you're probably looking either the Arsenal or the Shrewsbury games. Yeah. He definitely needs the minutes, because at some point, again, we're going to need him.
Well, there's 3 games of football coming up for Joe Gomez, as far as I'm concerned. In January.
Both legs and the cup.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then let's be honest, it should be the next FA Cup game as well. So you've potentially got 4 next month
for Gomez,
and he starts them no matter what. You know, and there's a couple of lads who definitely do. Like, again, fitness notwithstanding, Curtis Jones definitely starts those games, and Nico Williams starts those games, and Rob will be back.
Hopefully Harvey Elliott as well.
Hopefully back end.
See where Tyler Morton's are at the moment. I don't think he'd be right to start him in this game.
I would be keeping Tyler Morton away from this game.
Even off the bench. Baying for blood.
I didn't think, being in the ground, I didn't think anything of that tackle on Pereira at the time. And it was a bit wild, and it was clearly a yellow card, but like, I didn't realise just how bad it was.
Broke his leg, hasn't he? I think it's a shocker.
Yeah, it's a bad one. He definitely got away with one in a big way there. I just want to draw attention, by the way, back to our Club Legend Discord chat. Roe Doughty has appeared.
Rebecca
says, thank you. Tested positive on Christmas morning. Yeah. So thanks, Santa. So yeah, we've given her a little bit of a post-Christmas COVID lift there. Congratulations.
We don't have to worry about sending COVID in the post, because you've already got it.
Yes.
That was the worry about sending these. Last off flows before we put stuff in the mail. Now it's fine.
Pile it on there.
If anything, I'm going to sneeze on
it. Pack it off, yeah, she says, thank you, folks. Delighted. And thanks to Red Men, my favourite podcast. Well, thank you so much for being a Club Legend subscriber. And yeah, well done for winning your prize. Let's have a quick look at the other Premier League fixtures.
All the best.
What should potentially maybe be the Premier League fixtures up and coming? Obviously, we're doing this on Monday, so Newcastle United is still to be played of that game week. But as it stands, Southampton, Tottenham, Southampton are a mad team, aren't they? Every time I think that's it, Southampton are dead and buried and they're just going to lose loads of games and get relegated, yeah. They just pull out.
Ever since I tipped them for relegation, I think they've won every game. Or something like some.
So yeah, I mean, interesting there. Conte coming out and being like, oh, this festive period, oh, it's fine. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't change a thing.
I haven't played for a month.
This is dead easy, this. Watford, West Ham, Palace, Norwich, us versus Leicester, of course. Chelsea, Brighton, you'd imagine that would be Chelsea, Brighton. Brighton are another odd one, aren't they, Steve? Where
they don't have many goals in, don't score many. Every game, you can almost fast forward every Brighton game to like the 80th minute and just watch it from there, because that's where the good shit's going to happen. Mm. Like, it's like getting to the end of a movie.
It's that 1 in 4 or 5, which is the race at which Trossard / Mopay score, and it's just, is this that game where the stars align for them and they might do something? The thing for Chelsea at the moment, obviously Lukaku did well the other day. He took his goal really well in particular. He might be the answer to this problem. Their problem being that they've started drawing a lot of football matches. Mm-hmm. He might just be the marginal difference there that gets them over the line and that. But this has got all the hallmarks of a kind of game where Chelsea might actually hit another brick wall and just come away with it. Probably not a defeat, but possibly a draw.
Yeah, they could definitely drop points against Brighton. If Brighton perform anywhere near where they can, they haven't done for many weeks, have they? I know they beat Brentford, but they've been poor. Ever since they got that draw at our place where they were brilliant on the day, they've been really poor ever since.
They just don't concede goals. I know they obviously scored 2 in the first half against Brentford, but usually they just keep themselves in the game and then get there. They're defensively, and they've had tons of injuries at the back as well, and they've had their own COVID stuff, haven't they? So I think credit to them. But like you say, watching Brighton, I don't know, it's a bit like watching a porno. Watch the first 5 minutes and then skip to the end if you want to. get all the action. You can cut the middle out.
they're a point above Leicester at the minute, so we're talking about the difficulties Leicester might provide.
You got the flyer, didn't they, Brighton? That's the difference. They were like 4 for a while, weren't they, early doors? So.
They love a draw.
Look at the number of draws, Paul.
Yeah, I know, absolutely. Well, that's what I mean. And similarly for, you know, it's been Chelsea like us on 5 draws. Just a little bit, and I think as well in terms of the narrative that's building towards the Liverpool Chelsea game, because I saw it being said, you know, the level on points with us because we've got the game in hand, and we're saying that's them making sure they close the gap or keeping it tight with all eyes on. If they then go and beat us, that start to put it back in their control. The flip opposite to that is there's a chance they drop points before they even get to play us, and then. Because my feeling all December and to the back end of November is I think the Chelsea game is the game where we put paid to their title hopes a little bit. So Brighton have got an opportunity to pay.
It's all an AFCON, by the way, and not just to, like, they're going to lose their goalie for that.
Yeah,
like all the best with Kepa
and the backup's crap, and
they need to be in there, because I know we're going to lose our strikers, but they're losing their. Mendy's probably been the best goalie in the league this season. He's been up there, and he's been really good. That's a blow for them. So they need to be in touching distance. Like, say, if you can get a 6-point gap on them or whatever, I think you can start pulling away from them there.
The other one to keep an eye out for, but really don't put any hope or emotion towards this, is Brentford hosting Man City. As we said, you'd expect City to just. But the only thing I'd caveat this with is hopefully, and this is my ultra glass half full personality bubbling annoyingly to the surface for people, I appreciate this. Given that we went to Brentford and we had a little struggle there, obviously Arsenal struggled there. Brentford is the kind of side that City tend to struggle against.
Someone has a go at them
that's energetic and's got nothing to lose. The problem is they're getting Brentford at the best time for them, when they're like lost in this
injuries and COVID as well. Brentford have really struggled with that. So like I say, I always think if you're playing City, I always think if you try and just sit back, you'll eventually let one in. Mm-hmm. I know some teams do it, like Southampton did well against them this season, but Southampton actually attacked them. You've got to give them something to think about.
Yeah.
If you just camp on the edge of your own box, you've got too many good players and they'll find a way. Like, if you go and try and give them a bloody nose, you might get beat 5-0. But I don't think if Brentford get beat 5-0, Thomas Frank's like, his job's on the line, or he's under pressure.
That's the beauty of it. Exactly. And that's how they get dividends against us, because you end up with them triple loading Trent at the back post because it's like, who cares? We'll throw caution to the wind. If they can do that against City, that's the kind of thing that City don't like. So hopefully,
they're but in such again, good form, Andy City. They're so good.
Yeah, hope, yeah. Not expectation there. So good. It's another Rafa Benitez derby looming on Thursday. Everton, Newcastle, another game where the rival fans like the manager more than the home fans.
Yeah.
That should be good fun. If nothing else, maybe Rafa just rolling a CV over to Amanda Stavely and co while he's there. And then United Burnley, which I could not imagine a duller way to spend a Thursday night, to be perfectly honest. But there you go. And then obviously we're leading into the next round, which will follow at the weekend.
What are your thoughts on the staggeredness of all this? Because we've got football pretty much every day, Boxing Day right through to Thursday. That's right in saying, isn't it? And then
I'm not asked because it's not Liverpool.
No, so. I just think in general. I think at the moment I've never found it more difficult to know who's good and who's bad. The dead easy way that it is like, oh, let's just have a little look at the league table. Mm. And you look at the league table and everyone's games are everywhere. You look at the form guides and everyone's up and down.
Well, Spurs are the team that are making it impossible to really gauge how good the fourth place team is, because they've got three games in hand on Arsenal and they're 4 points behind them. So they could absolutely like that. It could almost be a closed shop if they were to win the three games in hand. Not quite, but you know, to the point. I mean, the thing is, they won't, because that's why they're a team that are between third and sort of seventh, is you never put together like five or six games.
It'd be five or six, wouldn't it? They're not going to do that. It's just player availability at the minute for me. Other than obviously Liverpool, we don't know who's playing for anyone else. You don't know what sort of team lineup they're going to
play. It's ref my fancy footy. Honestly, games called off like 2 hours before.
Oh, I played me whatever it called.
They've given the ball, haven't they?
Just whacked it full of Chelsea and City players. Absolutely. Yeah, it's absolutely killing me, I'll be honest.
It is very tough to judge, and of course that means Liverpool kind of get thrown into that conversation. But you're right, we're sat here, we've just done this. The only reason we didn't do a build-up show for Leeds is because the final word show before it overran to the point where the announcement came out. So we're presuming this will go ahead. There's been no more rumours of Liverpool losing any more players, you know,
unless Leicester start getting the pencil out on the LFTs because they need a bit of a rest again, like, who knows. But I think both these teams are on the other end of COVID issues.
Looks
so you'd
like
hope
it,
not
doesn't
but,
it? Yeah.
Mate, you can't, don't count all I was saying, all those games you mentioned there, would you be shocked if four of them were off by the time Thursday comes? You just wouldn't have who knows? It's mad.
No, it is, and fingers crossed we can just get these games done and played, because you can't guarantee at the future. We're in good form. We've got a brilliant squad at the moment. You want as many of these games,
which is why I think Jürgen, by the way, didn't want the Spurs and Newcastle games off. I thought he realised we're in this moment now.
Mm. Yeah.
Look how quickly things can change when we're in a good form all of a sudden. Last January, when it just went to absolute pieces, like, no one's suggesting that is going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I think, like you said before, like, he wants to keep rolling into the games, and even if it means going to Spurs with three or four out,
he's
still got a draw, which isn't the worst result in the end of the world. I think other teams have been moaning for games to be called off or asking or being denied. I think when you ask for a game to be called off and you're denied, I think you must know the criteria and that you're probably going to get told no.
Yeah.
That's when it comes across like desperate. I think if Liverpool would have asked for either of those games, they'd have got told no anyway. Mm-hmm. And then you're almost sending a defeatist message out.
Yeah.
Like Crystal Palace asked for their game to be off and then got told no. And then
there was backroom staff on it, I think, as
well.
Yeah,
and the manager and stuff. And I think you have to know the rules, like you need to. I think once you start asking and you get told no, first of all, your players are like, oh, shit. That even the boss wanted us not to be in the game.
And
I think that's why Liverpool are rolling through it.
And I think, and again, to the point, like Jürgen Klopp, it's why he puts his conceit over like the cup games. He never thinks he's disrespecting the competition. He's respecting his squad.
Yeah.
And he's saying, I think you guys, or whether he believes it when he goes home at night, whether he has a little laugh under his breath to himself and a little elbow to the ribs of his missus and goes, oh my God, it's the state of the side. I can't wait to put out there.
Be Everton.
I will know, but how I think he, whether it's how he believes it or not, it's how he portrays it to the squad, is, I think he's a boss. Go out there and be boss. So if he's, you know, he doesn't want to do that because it undermines his entire message to the full squad. I think you're all good enough and capable enough of dropping in, so it would take a mad set of circumstances for us to call a game off. So fingers crossed we'll do it. The only good benefit, as mentioned, now Virgil's now had it, Thiago's had it, Fabinho's
no
had
testing
it.
For 90 days go.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly, and to the point of, it means that can't strip us back in the same, you know, that's your almost your spine protected for the next period when we're going to be a little bit threadbare, with the attacking lads going. Mm-hmm. So that's something. So worst case scenario, you're guaranteed, barring other injuries, Virgil, Thiago, Fabinho are going to be in and around there. So just that, maybe that's the small benefits to that, certainly. Score prediction?
3-1 to Liverpool.
3-0 Liverpool.
4-0 again to Liverpool. Why not?
Yeah.
Send a message.
Yeah.
That Boxing Day one 2 years ago was the biggest message that we were meaning business. I think everyone's got an eye on City at the moment, and they're starting to put the foot down, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a psychological war that's about to be unleashed between Liverpool and City again, just like the season when they won it and the season that we won it, where I don't think we want to be playing catch up again. But we've done that before, and I think we're better experienced at being the chaser than being the chasee. I think we're quite good in both roles, whereas I don't think City are. And I've had this. I said this in the office before. My sneaky feeling is this season is going to be a bit of a flip reverse of 18-19, where you know we were top at Christmas. City had games in hand, and then it came through to that game where we played them at the Etihad and the millimeters and all that kind of crap. I've got a sneaky feeling that, you know, we'll catch up, but I like them putting their foot to the floor and scoring loads of goals, and then Liverpool just go and win. And they go, well, what was the point of us putting all that energy?
It's early for that form as well. The form is outstanding, like you touched on, but it's still very early to be that
They've
good.
Gone early. They're almost like the marathon runner who's gone for it and they're trying to get to the line. Like, they have put their foot down and they've gone. We're just got to keep up with them. Listen, if they can win every game from like six... Well,
fair play.
Is it eight games on the run?
We went at nine in the league.
Or something. So if you want... Listen,
they do that, then fair play. Like,
if you go with the next 20 games or whatever, then fair play. There's nothing we can do. My hope is that we can keep on just touching distance with them so that if they have a little blip somewhere, then we can capitalise. Because, listen, I've never seen any side go from unbeaten, go and win every game from November. I've seen sides go unbeaten, obviously, Arsenal. But from like where they haven't lost since, it was the Palace game, they got beat, right, and say, and then since then, they've just obliterated everyone. If they can do that for the end of the season, like, it doesn't matter what we do, we're fucked. So you've got to hope that logic dictates somewhere a blip's coming and we've got to be the ones just ready to capitalise.
We just need to get about our business. And to the point, 4-0 would be great. It'd be great to send the message, but I've been saying this all month, I don't care how we win. Yeah. Liverpool just need to go about that process of going back to being unbeatable. And by any stretch, just go and just put your foot on the throat of the league and just and dare Man City to carry on at that sort of rate. Because while it's flying, it's going in, you know, because they've got goals from all over the place. They can play anyone centre forward at this point. It's mad.
Like Gundogan, number nine.
Genuinely, they've played about seven players centre forward this season.
They just sold the striker as well.
Absolutely mad. But yeah, my hope, and it is just hope at this point, is that it's great having goals from all over the place, but sometimes the reason why number nines and predator, you're having your one guy who's a 30 goal a season forward is because when the shit hits the fan, he's the guy who's going to score you the winning goal in a tight situation. And my hope is that that's where they do come slightly undone, because historically the team that hasn't quite got across the line has often been a little bit like that. But that's the hope that gets me to sleep overnight anyway. Right, let us know your score predictions. Let us know your starting 11 predictions. The starting 11 prediction show will be live later on today, so you can tune in for that as well if you want to know. It's Chris doing that show today. If you want to know what Mr. Chris Pajak is doing for this side, then yeah, make sure you check that out. And as mentioned, of course, do check out the 50 greatest Liverpool players of the Premier League era, part 1 and 2, and the debate show afterwards, all streaming right now on Redmen Plus. So yeah, as mentioned by a couple of the wonderful people in the comments, if you want to get your family around or you just want to get away from your family, then get your slipper socks on, get yourself a cup of tea, and then tune in for some brilliant Liverpool content on our Liverpool streaming service. Thank you, gents. It's been an absolute pleasure. Really looking forward to this now. Hope you are too, and we'll see you all soon. Merry Christmas.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.